If you've got your Bible, go to the book of Joshua. If you're just getting started in your Bible study and you don't know how to find Joshua, go to the very first of your Bible. Go to the very first, okay? And you'll turn from Genesis, then Exodus, and some of us ought to be saying this with me to practice, Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. You got a good Bible, it's on page 325. And I do have my good Bible back because the same guy that fixed Abby's grandmother's Bible fixed my Bible. And fixed Brian's, but we're not nearly as excited about his as we are ours. Last week Brian said, "Well, you know in that Bible that you stole from me? I didn't steal it. The guy was fixing it." All right. Folks, the book starts off this way. Moses is dead. Just the statement. If you were one of the Israelites who had followed Moses out of Egypt, if you were one of the Israelites that watched him do all those wonderful signs and miracles and plagues that got Pharaoh broken down so you could leave, if you were there with Moses when he held out that rod and the Red Sea was parted, or when bread rained down from heaven, or when a mountain caught on fire and God wrote 10 commandments with his finger, or when you were there, if you were there and seen all of those, and then have it announced at your local Sabbath meeting, "Moses is dead," your first response would have been, "Yeah, what do we do?" I mean, there's all kinds. We talked about it, but what do we do now? But I don't have to have that kind of announcement to come to this, to have that kind of confusion in my life. It'd be all kinds of things. I was in a car wreck, or man, my marriage exploded, or I got fired from my job, or I mean, Any life issue can put you in a state where you think, "I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what. I don't know what." I need to remind you and be praying for Roger. Roger's mother passed away. She had a heart attack on, I'll forget the day, but I believe it was on Wednesday. No, today's Wednesday. It was on Sunday. She had a heart attack on Sunday and had surgery on Monday, and then she passed away yesterday. Tough for him. Because you can imagine, this is us, y'all. Can you imagine what goes on between your family when you've lived a life and made some of the decisions that have been made by us? Right? And then trying to rebuild that relationship. He moved back to Lubbock to try and rebuild that and was just in the process of that. And now she's gone. What will it do to you? What can it do to you? Something that you have no responsibility for. Now you automatically go to feeling responsible, don't you? Man, have did I do this? Is God mad at me? And Rick even said it. And we do need to talk about this more when we get a chance. But we start seeing that is some way God's giving, trying to tell us something. Let me encourage you do not interpret God by circumstances. Do not interpret God by circumstances. Don't read tea leaves or stop sign. Or almost accidents or illness. Don't read God that way. You read God who is God and agree with Him and understand that whether we grasp it or not, whether we figure it out or not, God is doing good in us and for us. But you get in that, you go through something like that, you have a horrible thing happen to you, whether you're responsible or not, you get trapped in a confusion that says, "I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to trust. I don't know what to do." And there are some of us, and I love you, I do love you, even though I'm scratching my head at us. But some of us have a Chicken Little mentality. I love you, but some of us, the moment something bad happens, "Ooh, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to turn, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do." Yes, you do. Do the next right thing. You can't change what anybody else is going to do. You can't change what already happened. Even if it was your fault, you can't change it. So what do you got to do today? Say it. Oh, I love it. Two people said it weren't here last week. Move on. Sometimes you just got to move on. Now, I'm not here to tell you that it's time for you to move on that deal. It's not my job to say it's time. But God says there comes a time when you have to go ahead and say it. Move on. I didn't prompt them either. That's just the truth of it. And that's what this book is about. This book is about a group of people that don't know where to turn, what to do, and it's time for them to move on. And he tells Joshua, the way you do that is you keep yourself strong and courageous. You grit your teeth. Man up. Grit your teeth, clench your fist, stomp your foot, get set. I'm going to do what's right, whether anybody else does it or not. And then he says you get in his word and you don't turn from the right or turn to the right or to the left. You keep going right along with God's word. And then number three, don't you let discouragement keep you from finishing the job. You don't let discouragement stop you. Does it say that you're not ever going to get discouraged? Now, you're going to see Joshua even get discouraged. But you don't let discouragement keep you from doing what you know is the right and the best thing to do. Well, Joshua chapter 2 is about a lady who learns the lesson and shows us that when we go through things, in this case, some of our own doing, there is a way you can move on. I'm going to read it to you because we're not familiar with this story, so let me just read it and tell it and talk it for a minute. Then Joshua, son of Nun. That does not mean his mother was a nun. This is not a good verse for you to go back. See, nuns are married. No, it's a man's name. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies to this place called Shittim. Go look over the land. And especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab. Ding, 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 ding. Flashing lights. Every Bible class I've been in the history of my life, the discussion has been on, what are those men doing in the house of that prostitute? That's not the discussion. That's not the point of the text. I don't know. What was Matt doing? Matt Dillon doing it at Kitty's place. I don't know. I don't know. But that's not the point, folks. And there's people in there going, Matt Dillon, who's that? Is he one of our guys? He got out of jail yet? Those of us who are mature, and closer to God than the rest of you, know about Gunsmoke and Matt Dillon. We get caught up in this and miss the story. Don't get caught up in this. Well, you want the worst case scenario? They were there enjoying her favors. You want the best case scenario? She was running a motel and that was the only place there was to stay. I don't know, and it's not the point of the discussion. I just know there was a prostitute and her name was Rahab. You ought to remember her. Circle her. Underline her name. That you understand she would not be the kind of person that you're going to invite over for Thanksgiving dinner. She's not the kind of person that the first one you think of said, oh, I drove past a church today. That had on its sign, a church building that had on its sign, it's Friends and Family Day, September the 12th. And I always love those kind of signs. You're not welcome any other time, but on the 12th, your friends and your family can come. Just teasing, bad teacher. Don't go there. But this is not the lady you invite to Friends and Family Day. We don't. Now, because she's in the Bible and because we know some other things about her that I'm going to mention here in a minute, we've learned to accept, oh, that Rahab, that's such a great story. But if the truth were known, and we had really any really insight into what her life was like, there'd be some of us who would be shocked and ashamed of how she lived her life. That's true. And another part of us would be brokenhearted and sad for what she had to go through and what her family had to go through in that lifestyle. What I need us to know, it's not her past that makes this story what it is. It's what she's about to do. It's not about your past. And I'm going to say this, I hope I say this so many times tonight you get tired of saying it, but you can quote it in your sleep. It's not your past. Tonight is not about your past. Tonight is not your past. The church is not about your past. Jesus is not about your past. Tonight, this fellowship is not about your past. It's about what you're going to do from now until He comes to get you, right? Keep reading. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. How did he know Rahab? I don't Don't ask me that. I don't know. I don't care. But there's probably some preacher's got a book written on it. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it came time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she, verse 6, but she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. Stop. Is the discussion, is it okay to lie? No, it's not okay to lie. God already settled that. Big commandment. Thou shalt not lie. Did the woman do wrong here? Well, I don't know, because there was people. Did the woman do wrong here? Yes, that's not the discussion, though. It's not about your past, and it's not about your performance that determines your relationship with God. Keep reading. We'll get there. Y'all are going to get me stirred up. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road and leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Whew, they're safe, right? Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, and there's some lady in ladies' Bible class that's going to say, did you notice that they're sleeping on the roof that night? They're not going into her house. I'm so glad. Read on. And she said to them, now here's the key. Here's the key. Read it. I know that the Lord has given this land to you. Underline the word know. I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard. Faith comes by hearing. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord, underline it, for the Lord your God is God in heaven and above and on the earth below. Underline it. What does she know? She heard it, believed it. You call that faith. That's why she's able to say she knows. She knows that the Lord is their God and is God of in heaven above and on earth below. This woman, who was a shameful woman in her livelihood, shameful woman in the way she conducted her life and treated her body and treated the bodies of others, shameful in that regard, according to all we know about that kind of occupation. What do you know about her? In spite of her past, she still had the ability to have... This is not about your past. This is not about your past. This is about your faith. What do you know to be true? I know I messed up big time. How about you? But this is not about my past. This is about my faith. And you know what my faith is? The Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. Right? I believe that. Do you believe that? This woman, who would not have been invited to church in most churches, this woman who would not have been acceptable and or accepted in a lot of places, has faith in God. That God is going to do what God is going to do, and she just believes it to be so. Keep reading. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. We'd have to jump too far to say it, but let me tell you, when you talk about faith, you're going to talk about faith in about three different ways. When you talk about faith, you've got to talk about conviction. That's where you know something's true when you can't see it to be true. Mark somewhere in your notes, and you read it when you get a chance. Hebrews chapter 11 says that faith is that conviction about things that are not seen. You can't see it, but you know it's true. Conviction. She had a conviction about God. But there's a second part to faith. It's a confidence. Hebrews 11, that's the verse. That's the chapter we're in right now. But in verse 6, it'll say, you believe that God is, and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. He rewards. That's a confidence there. She had this confidence. Your God is big enough to drive the Red Sea. If He's big enough to whip Egypt and drive the Red Sea, what can He do for me? Okay, now stop a second. I don't know. It's not about your past. I started to say I don't know about your past, but I do. You know about mine in this place. We know about our past. But it's not about our past, is it? What did God do in our past? If He can do that in our past, what can He do right now? Folks, and we've talked about it before, but it's good to be reminded. If God can take a dirt clod and turn him into a man, right? What can He do with a man who acts like a clod? Right? If God can take a rib out of a man and make woman, what can He do with a woman who's a pain in the neck or side? Right? If God can take a grasshopper and whip a nation, what can He do with a nation who understands that God is the Lord of grasshoppers? I mean, if we will let God, if we'll have that kind of conviction about God, we'll have that kind of confidence. If God could rain bread from heaven, can He help me make enough money this week to buy food? Can He give me daily bread? Now, I'm not saying that He's going to make it prosperous and allow me to pay off the debts that I foolishly got myself into. But I tell you what He's doing. He's doing just that. If I every day I go to work, don't want to, but I show up and go to work and do what I think is right. And guess what God is doing? He's making some payments. And one of these days I'll be 175, but I will be out of debt. And we will party. I better be in glory by then. All right. But you have conviction about God, then you have confidence. She wants to know, what can you do for me? I saw what you did. If you could destroy them, you can save me. Verse 14, they make a deal. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by rope through the window, for the house she lived in was a part of the city wall. There's a whole lot of things. It'd be fun to just discuss that deal. In our way of thinking in America, to live high rise with a view would be the place to live. Folks, think about that day and age. What it would mean to be living up in the wall where you had to lower somebody out the window. How do you get the water there? How do you get your food there? Yeah, and the rocks coming off the catapults, what are they going to hit first? The upper on the city, that's where you put the folks that you don't mind getting rid of. All right, keep reading. So she let them down with the rope, verse 16, and she said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you have brought your father and mother and your brothers and all your family into your house. Now stop. I have no idea how they came up with this. Okay? I don't know if they asked God, what sign should we have? I don't know. I don't know if they just said it. Whether God told them to or they said it, they told her to put what out? So if she hangs out a white cord, that ain't a scarlet cord. If she hangs out, I was in somebody's house today and there was a wall tapestry of SpongeBob and Patrick the Starfish. Who I learned this week is Dauber's voice from Coach. I'm impressed with SpongeBob all of a sudden for that. Not teasing. If they hang out something like it, they told her a scarlet cord. If she is going to show her faith, if she's going to express her faith, what's she going to do? she's going to do what she was told to do. She has faith in God. She's going to do what God asked. It's just that simple, y'all. But you know what I hear us do? We want to discuss it. We want to, well, now, why should it be a scarlet cord? I don't know why it needs to be a scarlet cord. They said scarlet cord, let it be a scarlet cord. Well, what if I don't want it to be a scarlet? Then you don't want to be saved, I guess. I don't know. Does it make sense to you if God tells you to do something that you discuss with God why He wants you to do that? I love it when He tells Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, well, it's a stick, it's a rod. He said, throw it down. Why? No, you don't ask why, you just do it, right? And then God says, when it turned into a snake, remember? And Moses ran off, and then God called him back and said, pick it up. I guarantee you there are people in this room, I know some of them real well, not letting my glance stare at anybody, you would have fussed. Why? Why should I have to pick it up? You told me to throw it down. Why don't you pick it up? What are you going to give me? Well, I tell you, we talk like that sometime. I've been in Bible classes where we read a verse and the whole discussion is, why do you think God wants us to do that? Are you serious? Do you really believe that we have to understand why God wants us to do something before we need to do it? I'm even amazed at these parents who have become so mature that they want to explain to their 3 or 4 year old why they want them to do something. Well, I want my children to understand. They're 3 years old. They're not going to understand. They don't understand anything. So you want them to explain. How do you explain it to a 3 year old? You don't explain to a 3 year old. You just say, 3 year old, here's what you're going to do, or else. And that's about all the explanation they need. Never mind. Get back to point. Point is, God said, hang out a scarlet cord. These guys said, hang out a scarlet cord out of the window. We'll find out if she believes him or not. Keep reading. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his head, and we will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in your house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we're doing, we'll be released from the oath you made us swear. Verse 21, third part of faith. Agreed. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Three parts of faith. There's a confident, there's a conviction part. I don't know, I do know about our past. Some of us got some sad and shameful things in our past. Others of us have some sad things in our past because of the sins of somebody else. Our past, it makes tough stuff. But this is not about your past. This woman was a prostitute, had all kinds of stories, I'm sure. Had all kinds of shame, I'm sure. Had all kinds of sad, I'm sure. But she had faith. She had conviction. You got to have conviction. Convinced. She was convinced that God was God. Number two, there's got to be confidence. And that's what she had. She believed the God that could destroy Egypt could save her. The God that raised Jesus from the dead can raise me. You got to have that kind of confidence. And then third, you got to have some kind of commitment. She followed through. I love that she said, agreed. Deal. Done deal. Shake on it. And the moment they left, what'd she do? Well, I wonder if a pink cord will it. No. Well, what if it's not a cord? What if it's a flag of our country? She didn't fuss about it, did she? She didn't discuss it. She said, agreed, let it be as you said. And what did she do when they left? She did it. Now, what do I learn from that, Brad?
Didn't say, okay, now it'll take them. I told them 3 days, hang out in those mountains, and then they've got to get their people ready, and then they'll come. I'll probably
put
it up in about 5 days.
Oh, man, good point. How many of us do that kind of thing? Oh, I need to get, and you can make it anything. Well, I need to get started on this. I'll do that next week. And that was next week. What happened? It didn't happen. I'll do that next week. Guess what? It didn't happen. You can keep... Yeah, and... that's all I've got to say about that. It's a good point. Folks, she didn't wait 3 days. She didn't wait a month. She didn't say, "Mom, they're marching on the city," and then go to dig it in the bottom of her closet trying to find the scarlet cord. She went and got it, hung it out the window right then. Don't wait. Man, if there's something you need to take care of, if there's somebody you need to apologize to, you need to handle something with God, you need to handle something with somebody else, do it. Don't put it off. Get it done. Now, what happens to this lady? What do you bet happens? And we don't bet here, but what do you bet? What do you bet happens to this lady? Guarantee it. When this city falls down, one part of this wall doesn't fall. And guess what part of the wall it is? It's her wall. There's a scarlet cord hanging from it. And she and anybody in her house at that moment is saved. Because when God makes a promise, He keeps it, right? So you want to move on? You want to move on? This lady needed to move on, you think? She wanted to start a new life. Their country was about to be under new management. And she wanted to start a new life. She didn't move to the next town. Though that would make it easier sometimes, wouldn't it? And some of us have tried that. Move to the next town, start a new life, make it better. Or get new friends. That's always a good thing to do. I got no problem with that if that helps. But she needed to move on. She started right there where she was. She started right there. She said, "I'm going to show my faith. I'm going to prove my faith. I'm going to express my faith." It's what you do at home, y'all. You want things to start changing at home? And I'm not talking about making announcements. I'm not talking about getting together and having a family conference. Just start doing it. Just start expressing your faith. Just start showing it. Don't make big announcements. After we've talked about it, you know, like you're doing January 1st. I'm going to do 700 push-ups and 700 sit-ups. If you can't do that many anyway. I can't do that anyway. But if you did it the first day, there ain't no way you're doing it for the second day or the third day. It might take 3 months before you get back to it. Don't make big announcements. I am never going to do this again. No. Just start doing it. Just start being what you ought to be. Doing what you need to do. Don't make big transforming kind of announcements. Just live your life transformed. And let them see it. Don't make declarations to your husband. From now on, I'm going to do this. Or don't make declarations to your wife. From now on, I'm going to do this. Or to your kids. Or to your parents. Just start doing it. Just start doing it. Don't just prove it. Express it that way. And do it that way at work. Do it that way at work. Do it that way at church. Just express your faith. And watch what God can do with a woman whose past was so shameful we didn't want to discuss it tonight. And see what He can do with her. You want to practice a little bit? You can let go of Joshua right now. I want you to go all the way back to almost to the end of the Bible to a book called James. Well, let's do Hebrews first. All right. Now, for those of you just getting started, go all the way to the end of the Bible. Go back to the very end. You'll find the maps there. If you'll keep backing up to the left, you'll find Revelation. And then you'll find Jude. And keep backing up, you'll see 3 John and 2 John and 1 John. Then you get 2 Peter, 1 Peter. Then what do you get to? Yeah, now we're all confused. James, go one more book. Go to Hebrews. Okay? I need everybody to find it. I need everybody to find Hebrews. And if somebody's having a hard time, it's okay to help them. Because we understand here, some of us didn't get started doing this right after Pentecost, like others of us did. John? Did I say that out loud? You got Hebrews? Hebrews 11? Look at verse 31. Hebrews 11, verse 31. Everybody got it? Have those tabs working, Abby. I love it. Hebrews 11, verse 31. From the Word of God. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. How did she stay alive? By faith. By faith. What does faith involve? Can you remember the three words? First one has to be a conviction. Then there has to be some confidence. And then there has to be a commitment. You do whatever God wants you to do. Conviction, confidence, commitment. Conviction, confidence, commitment. And that saved her. And saved her family. Faith did that. What do you think faith could do for your family? In spite of your past, in spite of the mess that some of us made of our lives, in spite of the mess that some of us made of our families, in spite of the mess that some of us made, what can faith do? It saves you. It gives you hope. Right? It kept her from being killed. It kept some of us alive, didn't it? If some of you had kept going the way you were going, if some of you had kept going the way you were going, where would you be today? You'd be dead. Alright, now you got Hebrews. Turn one book to the right. Go to the book of James. James chapter 2. Look at verse 25. And I want everybody to look at it. Hebrews. Then turn to James. James chapter 2 verse 25. See it? And in the same way. Hang on. I want to make sure everybody's got it. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute. Underline the next two words, folks, because you're not going to believe them. What does it say? Considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off into a different direction. In the same way, he talked about Abraham having faith. In the same way, Rahab having faith, doing what God asked her to do. In the same way, Rahab the prostitute. And both texts made a point of saying it. She's a prostitute. That's her past. But her faith caused her to be considered righteous. Now, what does considered righteous mean? God counts her as righteous. Anybody else in that town going to think that woman's righteous? Have a vote at the local church. Rahab, y'all, upper story, scarlet cord. She righteous? And everybody in town, customers or not, say what? Nope, she's not righteous. What does God say? Yes. And it's always right to agree with God. You got a mess in your past? You got a mess in your past? I got one. Got several, but I got a mess in you got a mess in your past? Yeah. Guess what? You have faith, not only can save your life, it can save your soul. Not only did she escape death in that city, she escaped eternal death. The moment we sleep in this world and go to wake up in glory, one of the people that we'll celebrate in before the face of Jesus is going to be Rahab. Will that not be something? And guess what we won't talk about up there?
Her past.
Our past. We'll talk about
glory.
Our God that is God of all gods. And if He could destroy a nation, He can save a life. If He can raise the dead, He can raise me. And her faith did that. So in spite of your past, your faith can save your life and it can save your soul. But we're not finished with her. I need one more verse, and I know it's you got to work at it, but turn to the left again. Turn to the left until you get all the way to the very beginning of the New Testament, into the book of Matthew. And it's a bunch of books. I know. You're going to wear yourself out. You'll be so tired when you get there. But if you'd learn the New Testament books of the Bible, you wouldn't have this trouble. What book did I say? Matthew. Just teasing. Matthew chapter 1. And there's some of you that are just getting started. Some of you just getting started and won't understand what I'm about to say. But the ones of us who've been together for even just a little while know the story. The story of how God promised in the very beginning of time, God promised that a child would be born of a virgin and that He would crush that serpent that deceived Adam and Eve. Crush that serpent, take down that flaming sword of judgment and bring us back into the presence and paradise of God. And here's the family tree of that baby born in Bethlehem, Jesus. Abraham, verse 2, was the father of Isaac. We've told the story. Isaac was the father of Jacob. You've heard the story. Most of us have. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. There was 12 of those boys, right? And one girl. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Boy, circle that Tamar, because that's a story we need to come back to. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Hey, we're not hearing stories anymore. We've never read stories about these fellows. Understand? Just keep reading. The last part of verse 4. Nashon is the father of Salmon. Salmon is the father of Boaz. Now stop. The story about Boaz, he was an older gentleman. One day he came walking in his fields and saw a good-looking Moabite widow lady. Young Moabite widow lady. Saw her and was kind to her. She returned his kindness. He chose her to be his mate. And Boaz and Ruth had a baby named Obed, who had a baby named Jesse, who had a baby named David, who is the great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy of the baby born in Bethlehem, whose name is Jesus. Read verse 5. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was... You've got a past? You got a past that makes you so ashamed you can't hardly breathe when somebody even hints at it? Folks, there's times I can be watching a television show and see something and I think, I don't like this. I don't like this. I remember this. I don't like this. I don't like that. They go, Rahab had that same kind of feeling about things. And yet she had faith in God and it saved her life. And it saved, well, it saved her family too, didn't it? And it saved her soul. And then God used her to help save the world. I wonder, can God work in spite of our past and do the same thing? Can He save your life? He did already. Can He save your soul? Did already. And through you, He's helping save the world. That's why it's time for us, by faith, to move on. Let's pray. Father, thank You for today. And I pray, God, that You help us have the kind of faith she did. Thank You for recording the story. Thank You for letting us see it and hear it. God, from this place, would You so work in us that lives will be spared, that souls will be saved, and that there'll be other people in the world influenced, saved. Not because we've done so good, but because You'll do good through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, y'all.